You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. But then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation. I like that. But I'm already finding out on my own is that it's wiping the walls out between you and me, and I really like that. It allows us into each other's worlds, or I guess in my case, a hotel room. When I think about things I want to post, I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff, like this. Because this is just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say, let the conversation begin.
Good morning, sweet world! And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, December 1st, 2022. Happy Advent Calendar Day to you all. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Happy No Work Month to America.
Next to Tassie, it's a bearded one, my top shot hot boy. That's Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what's gurgling behind me.
Okay.
It's all right.
You're there. It's We're stopped. Here.
Gurgled then.
Let the conversation begin. All right, let's get to it. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com for the holiday season. Makes a great gift. Hats, mugs, hoodies, shorts. I believe there's a few shorts available still.
Yeah, it's true.
T-shirts.
I meant to wear my Young Santa sweatshirt today.
Mm.
Forgot to, but I'll wear it tomorrow.
The one with you on it.
Yeah. Nice. There's more days in December, it turns out, so tomorrow it will be.
we're working most of December. The rest of America, I guess, doesn't. Send in your questions and comments as well to nodunks@theathletic.com. You never know when we're going to hit the beach. Okay, on today's show, we are going to do our biggest surprises about all the Eastern Conference teams. Yesterday, we did the 15 Western Conference teams. Today, we'll do the 15 Eastern Conference teams. But we had a million games on last night. We're only going to touch on a couple, but we had some amazing performances. We got to get your thoughts on Devin Booker scoring 51 points in three quarters as the Suns absolutely hammered your Chicago Bulls. Why don't you get us started there, TK? What do you think about that performance?
Devin Booker's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
This guy can score the basketball. I mean, you know, he started out Patrick Williams on him for quite a few possessions. Too slow. Mm-hmm. Alex Caruso did a better job of staying close. Too short.
Yeah.
It appears that some of Devin Booker's baskets were assisted, according to the tracking data at NBA.com/stats, but I don't believe it, because it seemed like he was making every single play off the dribble and scoring every single time he wanted to. Finished 20 for 25.
Oh, my God.
Incredible stuff. This is coming after a 44-point game in his previous outing, so 95 points over two nights. Pretty good.
Devin Booker just won Player of the Month, I believe, Tass.
Yes. And
we're waiting for that word, officially. I mean, he had three 40-point games.
I guess it was the end of November.
Games.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, three 40-point games there in November, and then the 51 last night in three quarters.
What was great about it was only six free throws, just continuously burying shots. A lot of the time as well, you know, we say, it was like the guy couldn't miss, and this was like he couldn't miss.
Yeah.
To have a special 80% from the field night. 20 for 25. Like, if we're going back to that 70-point game he had a while back in Boston.
Yeah, 2017.
So long ago. He missed a lot of shots then. He took 40-plus shots.
Yeah.
This one, my God. It was wild to see him shoot just through Alex Caruso. I always think of Devin Booker not as a huge guard, because he's also not massive. He's not wide. But it looked like no one could just affect his shot last night. he literally was ultra confident. That was you know, one of those when a shooting guard gets going, kind of fun nights. And he's not a deep 3-point shooter, but that last one late in the third, that was deep.
Yes.
He was feeling everything.
The first couple minutes of the second half, he was unstoppable. It didn't matter who the Bulls threw at him. He was like, I'm going to score here. Either pull up at three, attack with like left-handed finishes at the rim, or that jumper that's money, either working in the post or just getting to the free throw line area. It's just pure. A couple great stats about Booker's game from one of my favorite Substacks right now, Statitudes. Listen to this. Throughout NBA history, there have been 566 50-point games recorded in the regular season. 566. Booker's effort is just the 13th in which a player shot at least 80% from the field. Tough to do 80% field goal percentage in a 50-point game, because it does usually take, you know, a lot of shot attempts to get to that high a mark.
Or free throws, even.
Or
yeah.
Free throws, that's right. He did all of this, Booker did, in 30 minutes and 40 seconds. Only four players have recorded a 50-point game with less playing time. A total of five instances. You want to play some trivia? Can you name the guys? They're all current players to help you out here.
50 points in
50 points
fewer minutes.
In less minutes than Booker did last night. So basically, okay. Less than 30 minutes is what we're getting at here.
Yeah. Wow. Did Giannis do it?
No.
Like he had a 28 or no? Wasn't 50.
No. A guy did it this calendar year.
This calendar year.
A big guy.
Joel Embiid?
Yes. Mm. Embiid in January 2022, obviously this year, he scored 50 points in 27 minutes in like 3 seconds against the Magic, I believe it was. Okay, the player that I'd love you to get, he did it twice.
You would love us to get this guy specifically?
I think you should.
Kevin Durant?
Oh, you were doing this.
I was going to do Clay.
That's right. No dribbling. That's exactly right. Yeah, sure, Clay did it twice in 2016 and 2018. And then a pair of teammates did it also in 2018. They did it in like 29 minutes and change where they had a 50-point game. They did it like 10 days apart.
Kyrie, no?
No.
Oh.
No. Hmm. This is they're no longer teammates. I'll give you that little hint in the trivia here. One still plays for the current team and one has moved on to another Western Conference team.
Another Western Conference team.
Yeah. Both Western Conference guards. One has never made the All-Star team. One is a perennial All-Star.
Oh, Jamal Murray.
No.
Oh.
No.
Nuts. No, he hasn't moved.
Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
That's right, nice. Sir. Yes. Nice. Flip it around. It was CJ first and then Dame in 2018. Again, some like 10 days apart. I don't really remember that, but late January and then early February. So good stuff there. From Statitudes.
Statitudes.
Man, if you like stats, go check out this Substack. Okay, let's keep it going. I mean, Devin Booker, just unreal. We also had a game of note last night because I bet my house on it, and I'm rich now.
Mm-hmm. Two houses.
Yeah, exactly. I got two houses, man. Anthony Edwards, he sparks the Townsless Wolves to the 109-101 victory over the Grizzlies. So a little bit of a rivalry between these two teams, meaning in the playoffs. But we thought, Tess... No cat. Watch the it's the Ewing theory, as Bill Simmons has called it forever, and they came out and played pretty well here. Minnesota did.
Anthony Edwards threw Rudy Gobert an alley-oop in the fourth.
Indeed.
Don't see that very often. maybe they'll have some chemistry just because Karl-Anthony Towns is out. Edwards is going to have the ball. Rudy Gobert is going to be the center. I thought Kyle Anderson being inserted to the starting lineup is very, very key for this team. Just a glue guy.
Yep.
A connector, if you will.
Bridge? You want to go bridge?
Sure. So many bridges. Not Mikal, not Miles, obviously. But
get the hell out of here.
Yeah, but
Jeff.
Jeff. Todd, see you later. Anyway, I think he might just force his way into the starting lineup and might not leave the starting lineup. Kyle Anderson is just perfect for
leave. What happens in 4 to 6 weeks when Kat comes back? Trade him?
He can be starters. A small forward.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Super big.
That's, interesting. Interesting.
Kyle's not big. He's a wing.
He's slow, though.
he plays like
molasses.
A slow team.
He is great. I mean, I agree with you. He is one of those classic, like, as your, you know, whatever, fourth or fifth player in the starting lineup, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
in
he helps. He just helps. Yeah. So we'll see what Rudy Gobert and Anthony Edwards can do together. Hopefully that happens because Carl's not there. and then it pays off later on when Towns does come back. Towns will be in the starting lineup when he comes back. I can guarantee that.
Mm. Maybe they should look to trade him, though. You're going to see that. They start pulling off some wins here. You know those rumors will fire up. But what did you think about Ant leading the Wolves to the win?
I thought he was awesome in the fourth quarter in particular. And I can't believe it. I got to tip my hat to Rudy Gobert for all of his screen assists.
Oh, you sicko?
This guy was screening last night. It's not a coincidence to me that they ran so many pick and rolls. You're right. Edwards did eventually pass the ball to Rudy Gobert for an alley-oop. Everybody went crazy. But he was setting great screens, getting a ton of space for Edwards to then be able to attack downhill. And then Edwards was just finishing over whoever happened to be there. Didn't matter if it was one guy, two guys, three guys. Eventually he did get it to Rudy Gobert, but that was kind of just like a thank you gift from Anthony Edwards. Thanks for getting me open so many times in this fourth quarter. Have a nice dunk for the road.
Yeah, and Rudy was calling for rescreens even. He was saying, get up there, get up top, bring the ball to Anthony Edwards and screen. And then the bigger question mark in the starting lineup isn't, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to come back. I think Kyle Anderson is key. It's Anthony Edwards gets the ball more if D'Angelo Russell isn't there. I think that guy should be the number one trade prospect, because last year things worked out with Patrick Beverley back there, and things were just a lot different on that team. So that's the chemistry issue, I think. Anthony Edwards just got to be more prominent.
Russell was a table setter last night with 10 assists, and he hit a big three, an important three in this game because it was close. And then the Grizzlies, they got upset, didn't they?
They were mad.
Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant getting a little pissed off with this one. But the Wolves get it done without Kat there, as everyone predicted. And final game that we need to just touch on briefly here. The Boston Celtics continuing their winning ways. Had some royalty in attendance last night, too. I know Trey was pumped up about that. Your sister must have been ecstatic about this.
This is the first time my sister has been in our basketball group text. Me, my dad, my stepbrother, and my sister hopping in. Starting a full new group text.
Oh, wow.
Did you know Will and Kate are going to the game tonight?
Oh, she knew it in advance.
Skates, she's flying to Boston today because they're still there doing some climate change initiatives.
Yeah.
She's just hoping to catch a glimpse of the Royals.
Yeah, man. It's amazing. I love that these people still exist.
Yeah, so I was updating her the entire night on how often they were clapping. I sent her the clip of Will saying, he's very good.
Yes.
After Jason Tatum hit back-to-back threes, I thought it was hilarious that they put him up on the Jumbotron, and the Boston Celtics fans responded by chanting, USA, we got your tea party right here, Will! It did leave a question, though. I mean, 49 points from Jason Tatum. They stayed the whole game. They were there the whole game. This is only the second game these two have been to. The first was in December 2014. They showed up in the third quarter for Cavs versus Nets game.
Yeah, LeBron, right?
Yeah, it ended up being a blowout. Leading scorer that night, Dion Waiters, with 26 points. I don't think that one is going to make it into the crown. 49 points, though, from Jason Tatum?
Wow.
Season 10? A de-aged Drake playing Jason Tatum? Yeah. Come on. I think they got to get it in there.
De-aged Drake.
He's going to be like 50 years old by the time they make season 10 of The Crown. He's supposed to play a 19-year-old, but they can do incredible things with computers.
Will and Kate stay for the whole game. Our king, our Canadian king, Drake, doesn't stay for 48 minutes. No, they stay for the entire thing. It was impressive. Unfortunately, I thought it was Will and Grace that was going to be there and not Will and Kate. I would have been a little bit more pumped for them. But yeah, my dumb, pointless Twitter investigative work led me to believe that there was a good amount of cheers instead of just the USA chants. who cares? But, I mean, the donkeys that know geography and start chanting USA. I mean, come on. I don't know how many there were. I would like to think that it was mostly cheers for Will and Kate.
You'd like to think that?
Yeah. Well, rather than USA, hey, did you know you flew to the USA? We're chanting USA at you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Some notable moments in United States history have happened in Boston, and I'll tell you who the villains were.
That's a good point. They asked Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla after the game if he got a chance to meet the royal family. This was Joe Mazzulla's quote. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about them, but hopefully they're Celtics fans. Mm. Talking about, obviously, Prince William and Kate Middleton. What a quote! That's going to be one of the quotes of the year.
You need to get off Twitter and go to church from Joe Mazzulla. That's nice.
I would like to see if Tatum goes on to pull out an MVP victory, Prince William and Kate give it to him. And, Prince William could be like, yeah, he is good. He is MVP. Cheer, cheer, cheer. But yeah, dominant performance, 49, as the Celtics are just continue to be lights out. We'll get to them, of course, when we get to our surprises for Eastern Conference teams here. And I got some stats about them and their offense being the greatest of all time. right now. It, by a landslide, actually. It's wild after, 22 games they've played. The only other note from the Celtics game happened this morning. I don't know if you guys saw Woj tweeting that Al Horford has agreed to a two-year $20 million contract extension that ties him to the franchise through his 39th birthday. So Big Al signing on for a couple more years. That'll kick in 23-24.
39, huh? I think... he's going to be good till he's 39.
So you
39.
Think that's a steal, 10 mil a year?
A 39, he's been in the league a long time, but he stays pretty young, feels like, right? Like
he looks identical, man.
And he loves playing in Boston. He wanted to get back to Boston after his first stint there. They tried the Philly thing, went to OKC, and they got him back to Boston. His whole family, speaking of his royal family, has always said he wanted to go back to Boston. He's pumped to be there. I think he'll be spry through his 39th birthday, Alfred Joel Horford Reynoso.
You don't think in a couple of years from now we'll see, who would it be? Who would be like a comparison? Who's a great young wing, like a super young wing in the NBA? Like a small forward. Give me a name.
Any small forward, Jabari Smith Jr.
Okay. He's very young. Think in a couple of years, Al Horford being 39, 40, that we'll see Jabari Smith Jr. matched up on him in the corner, like we saw Tatum blowing by Haslam last night.
Wow.
You don't think that'll be an issue with an old Al?
Yeah, that was
what a weird way for me to get there.
That was tough.
That was crazy. What are they doing to poor Haslam, man?
They put Udonis Haslam, the oldest player in the NBA, born in 1980, on Jason Tatum in the corner. Plus, they had that corner cam where it was right on the floor so you could see just one shimmy from Jason Tatum put Udonis Haslam in the absolute opposite direction. Poor dude. Now, if Al Horford
is older than I am. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's the only player born in 1980.
Wow.
Left in the NBA.
He's 42 years old.
But he hasn't been playing.
No.
Horford plays.
I know.
Anyway, but yeah, he could be. But he's at 10 mil, when the salary cap goes up, he's still a backup. Like, that could be priced as a backup.
And like, whatever he's contributing in 2 years from now,
in
he's basically
fives.
Like Haslam. He's like a coach. Yeah.
Totally.
He's either a player coach or he's just like, spot minutes here or there. And he's like such a great locker room guy and presence and stuff like that. So, yeah, good stuff from Horford there. Okay, should we get into the teams?
Let's get into the teams.
The big surprises at the quarter mark of the NBA season for all the Eastern Conference teams today. Again, if you want to hear our Western Conference thoughts, check out yesterday's podcast. These can be good or bad, so positive or negative. Can be about specific players, can be about coaches, or even trends. We're going to start in the middle of America, the Central Division.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting choice.
By me.
Yeah, the Central of all the three to choose from.
Middle out.
You know why I picked the Central? You want me to peel
Let
back
me know.
The curtain?
Yeah, peel it.
I think I picked them the other day because I was like, the best division right now?
Overall, the best division.
Now you would maybe counter, well, hold on, how's it not the Atlantic, right? Boston with the best record. But then there's like,
who's the
there's the Raptors, the Sixers, like they're all like sort of
everybody else is 500 pretty much.
Yeah, so this one, we got the Bucks, and we got the Cavs. Mm. And the Pacers are about a 500 team, so anyway,
it's the best division.
That's why I went with them. So Tass, you just kick back and chill for a second.
I'll take this one, buddy.
Trey, the Milwaukee Bucks. What's been the biggest surprise about the Milwaukee Bucks a quarter of the way through the NBA season?
How about how good Brook Lopez is?
Yeah, I agree.
Great to have this guy back. We've known about the defense. He's been awesome defensively for the Bucks this entire season, his entire tenure with Milwaukee. But he's stepped it up defensively and offensively. He is crushing it right now. 50% from field, 40% from three, 80% at the free throw line. He's averaging a Bucks best. You know, it's his Bucks tenure. This is the most points he's averaged. This is the most blocks he's had his entire career in the NBA. He looks basically like Brooklyn Brook right now. I think he's kind of a shoo-in at this point for Defensive Player of the Year. He seems to be the leader in the clubhouse if you're checking the tweets out there. And there's a potential he makes an all-star game right now, 10 years apart from his last time there with the Nets. So I think him coming back and being able to assume a huge chunk of the offense with Chris Middleton missing time, with Drew Holiday missing time, Pat Connaughton was out for a while. They've just had a lot of points off the board, but Brook has been able to step into that scoring role, which is a little bit of a surprise for me because he seemed to be pretty content to just be a catch-and-shoot player for the Bucks the past couple of seasons. But anytime they've needed him, we saw it in the playoffs against the Hawks, anytime they've just needed Brook Lopez to be a scorer, he can obviously still do it. They've needed it early in the season this year, and he's really stepped up.
He's an all-star. I think he's going to make the all-star team. Even as a guy who's averaging 15.5 points a game, they're going to pick a second buck, it feels like, to me.
Because the Celtics and Milwaukee will have sort of the best records?
Well, you know, I shouldn't just say just because they're going to be a great team. Brook deserves it. Brook is just so good, mm-hmm. period. And he has just been phenomenal. He has reinvented his game, and this is going to be his first all-star appearance in a freaking decade, which would be the longest. It's the longest.
I mean, nobody
span.
Ever actually followed up
I know,
with
but it's got to be. It's got to be the longest.
It's either going to be Drew Holiday or Brook Lopez. Yep. Incredibly, being a decade apart, I think, as an all-star selection.
Dude just keeps reinventing himself
yeah.
over and over and over again. He used to just work in the paint, and now they're finding him in the paint more. They're finding him on little dives and that kind of thing. And he reinvented his shot, as Eric Name wrote about on The Athletic. Actually, Eric Name, shout out to Eric Name.
Hell yeah.
National Sports Media Association nominated him as a Wisconsin Sports Writer finalist. Wisconsin, back to the middle of the country. So congrats to him, and congrats to Brook. I think as we've gone through all the All-Stars in the recent Bucks history, it's always been Chris Middleton has always been the second one. He's not there. It's kind of Wiggins-like. You know, they didn't have Clay last year. Wiggins got in there. Mm. And there's been talk before about Bledsoe as the third guy, sure. even. Drew, but Drew hasn't been phenomenal. This yeah. guy has been great. He's been phenomenal, and yeah, oh yeah, here comes Chris Middleton.
Too. Yeah, yeah, I guess possibly back this Friday, they're saying, with Chris Middleton returning to the Bucks. I think it's fun to imagine, to skip ahead to, what, May, Bucks versus Celtics in a potential matchup, wherever it is. Is it in the second round? Is it more likely in the conference finals? Of Brook being a bit of a difference maker against a team like the Celtics, because Robert Williams in theory should be back, but of course Brook can stretch the floor and like maybe a difficult sort of matchup there for Robert Williams, and then can Brook hold his own inside against him? It's just fun to think about that, and like for the Milwaukee to beat Boston, he'll have to play at an all-star level like he's been on both ends. So
I don't want to talk awesome. About how inevitable it feels like, because we still have 60 games left in yeah. the Eastern Conference for each team, but it feels like those are the Eastern
I just
Conference
think if
finals.
Those two teams are like healthy, be yeah. Robert Williams coming back, Chris Middleton coming back, like I can't talk myself into any other team beating them 4 out of 7 times. And like as much as the Cavs have been great, the Sixers are obviously a beast with Embiid, but I don't know, they just feel like on both sides of the ball. And they obviously, we've seen how far they've gone before, winning titles and getting to the finals and stuff like that.
They're the two best teams in the league right now, and both yeah. of them are missing a key starter.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Robbie Williams is coming back, too. He's been in the...
Robbie
yeah,
Williams.
Call him.
he was never here in America, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Never really made it.
When's he scheduled to be
maybe
back?
Maybe Will and Kate could have brought him.
Yeah.
When's you know, like, he's line? On the practice floor... Blocking
oh,
shots.
I did see that clip, yeah.
Yeah, the overhead practice yeah. gym shot. He's blocking shots. Pretty cool. Love that shot. but even – and Giannis just had – speaking of last night's game, he had 37, 13, and 7 in the Garden last night. No one cares.
No.
He fouled out. And he's been shooting better at the free throw line, too.
Cool
he's
game.
Coming around 73% in his last four games.
Let's go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you know what? I should take back what I just said, that it's inevitable that the Celtics and Bucks are going to play in the conference finals.
Oh, respect.
And here's why. This caught me by surprise. Biggest surprise. They have, the Cleveland Cavaliers, a better plus-minus than the Bucks, than a team like the Nuggets out west. They have the third best plus-minus in the league right now, behind the Celtics, +8.6, the Suns, +7.4, and there's the Cavs, +6.9. They've been hammering some teams. And after last night's ass-kicking, the Cavs have a top-two defense in the NBA, despite ranking almost dead last in steals per game and really quite low in blocks per game, too. So how are they getting it done? Well, it's just impossible to score on them in the paint, especially when Jared Allen is playing and him and Mobley are there as your 1-2. They rank fourth in the NBA in that category. They're by far one of the best defensive rebounding teams in the league, so they just finish possessions. And to piggyback off that, they don't give up any second chance points. Like, you have one chance to score on this Cleveland Cavaliers team, and then, like, they grab the defensive rebounds. Like, you're not really getting another chance, because they're the best team in the league in giving up the fewest second chance points to their opponent. Teams are shooting under 46%. You know, that's one of the best marks in the league. So this defense is legit, paired with a top, I believe, 7 offense. They're good. And that plus minus caught me by surprise. Like, those are the signs of a really, really damn good team. And the record represents that. So maybe I am. I think they're like a year away from beating, I think, a fully healthy Bucks or Celtics team. But, man, that's the right trajectory with still a young squad.
They beat the Celtics twice already this season, but it's going to be a problem when they get to the playoffs and you got Dean Wade, Garden, Sir Jason Tatum. I would like to see a little more from Evan Mobley, if I'm being quite honest. He's been basically the same player he was his rookie season, which was a really, really solid player. But, you know, he's still at 15 points a game, just like he was last season. I think he could probably be a better three-point shooter, but doesn't seem to be looking for it right now. He just hasn't put a stamp on this season thus far.
Yeah, those two wins over the Celtics, both in overtime, right? So, you know, like very, very competitive, close games. Just looking at their schedule, the Cavs, they're 9-1 at home. So they've only lost one game there. Mm-hmm. And 10 of their next 13 are there in the, what's it called? Rocket Mortgage Arena? I don't know.
They call it the Rock, I feel like.
Is they? Okay, so it must be Rocket Mortgage. Anyway, they have a lot of home games.
Fieldhouse,
that's what it is.
Take out another mortgage on your Fieldhouse.
So that
got renamed to True Build, didn't it? Oh, that's another one. I'm just kidding. Just names. Go ahead.
Anyway, that stretch there, that's like, we're getting into the new year almost. That's past Christmas. Yeah. They could have a killer-ass record if they continue to win these games. At home. So maybe they will be there with the Bucks and the Celtics in terms of elite records with that very, very heavy home schedule.
They've been phenomenal.
They have.
You know how much I love this Cavs team. They had that tough stretch where they lost five in a row, was it? It's been a bit of a roller coaster. I will say, as much as I love this team, I thought that they would finish third in the Eastern Conference standings. I think they sort of lost their chance to overtake the Bucks because the Bucks are ahead of them. And then they get Chris Middleton back. So I think this is the way the Celtics are playing, by far and away the best regular season team. And the Bucks have been unhealthy.
But if the Cavaliers are the third or fourth seed in the Eastern Conference,
that is a monstrous feat.
Incredible.
No, it is. I made that my bold prediction, and it doesn't seem bold now.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
But with the Sixers and the Raptors and the Hawks and even the Nets to some degree and the Miami Heat. Though they had to fight with those teams for third in the Eastern Conference, and they've beat them all up so far.
Yeah. All right, Tass, Indiana Pacers.
Oh, boy.
What do you got?
The fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. Who would have friggin' thunk it? They're 12-9, and it's surprising to me that they found their backcourt of the future now, like this fast. Who the hell thought that Benedict Mathurin would be a potential rookie of the year? It's him and Banchero. Banchero's playing great, but he is injured. The fact that he has come in beside Tyrese Halliburton, who, even with bigger opportunity, has continued to just be a pleasure to play with, I'm sure. He's just finding everybody. Yeah. We've talked about the assist to turnover ratio, the Chris Paul like.
Oh, he had some turnovers against Sacramento there.
Ridiculous.
In the Halle Bowl.
Two turnovers.
Yes, that's right. 50 assists to two turnovers, I guess, in the last four games.
So they got it. We just had a conversation about whether or not the Hawks, Cavs, or Pacers were the best backcourt. And Trey said, not now, but 5 years from now. And maybe it's true with Halliburton and Mathurin, when you put them beside Donovan Mitchell, who's, you know, a little bit older, obviously beside Darius Garland and Trey and Jonathan Murray's a little bit older. This could be a backcourt that's together forever. They drafted Mathurin at number 6 behind Jaden Ivey and Keegan Murray, other guards in this draft. And he's a star. He just loves contact. He's so decisive when he drives. He goes at it real hard. He shoots the 40% on nearly 6 a game. Beside Halliburton, again, who just passes to everybody. They also wear 0 and double 0.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be the first. A starting backcourt in NBA history wearing 0 and double 0.
Anyone play with Westbrook? Is what
definitely
back in my brain.
Or Dame.
Or Dame.
Dame and Melo were 0 and double 0 in Portland. Yep. Not a starting backcourt.
Yeah. You even throw in Andrew Nebhard, who they drafted.
Hell yeah.
31st in the draft. They look good. He's 40% from three. They look good. And it's surprising that they haven't traded Miles Turner, Buddy Hield to me, but when they're 12-9, it's kind of hard to break up the party, I guess. They are looking pretty solid. Will they deal one of those guys and just build behind Mathurin and try and get, you know, another wing-ish or big that sort of fits the timeline of Mathurin? And Halliburton. I think they will.
You move off of those guys, but you just wait for like an offer you can't refuse,
yeah,
right? There's no rush to like get these guys out of here. Like, oh, like they're killing our chemistry. It's like, it feels like, I mean, it doesn't even feels like it is. This is Halliburton's team, you know? It's not buddies. It's not Miles Turner. It's his squad, it feels like, as the point guard. So, yeah, they'll just wait it out until they get a, I would assume, a really, really good deal that's draft picks or a young prospect or something that they could add to the very, very young core there. Pacers, man, I thought they were going to be the worst team in the league. So I'm eating some crow on this one right now. Where will they be at the end of the regular season? I don't know. Like, will they be a play-in team? Better? I guess my gut says, I just, like, I have to, like, double down on them, like, falling back to earth and... Maybe they'll be a 9th or 10th seed, which would still be surprising to me because, again, I thought they'd be the worst. But, yeah, Mathurin's going to win either Rookie of the Year or Sixth Man of the Year. Probably more likely to win Sixth Man of the Year at this point.
He's probably the leader right now. Yeah. You see, I feel like on Twitter every night, has a rookie ever won Sixth Man of the Year?
Asking.
You always see it. You always see it. But, you know, it would behoove them, I think, to be bad in the second half of the season. Certainly, they've got their own pick this year. They're getting a couple of extra first-rounders, one from Boston, one from Cleveland. Those aren't going to be great picks, obviously, but their own pick could be great, or they could just, you know, be a 500 team, try and make it to the play-in tournament. I think it's more likely they go the other way. I do think it is funny that, despite the fact this is Tyrese Halliburton's team, Miles Turner is going to take the game-winning shot every single time. He's getting it up. It's a little bit of a showcase, for sure.
He was open the other night against the Lakers.
He might make one.
He might make one.
He might.
What were you going to say?
He was asking for that ball. Yeah. He keeps asking. He took the initial one, which could have been the game-winner.
Yeah.
Bounced out, and then he wanted it back. He is always firing those threes. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to get traded to the Lakers. I got to show them I can hit a game-winning three here.
I guess the other odd thing is beside him, Jalen Smith, former Phoenix Sun, is starting, which is strange because Jalen Smith was always a center, but now it's those two starting together, and Jalen Smith is firing threes, and so is Miles Turner. So this team, I think they're third in the league in terms of three-pointers per game. They're shooting like 40 a game.
Yeah, get
them
up.
Fire every guy. Every guy in the rotation fires away.
You said Mikal Bridges, Jeff Bridges, Todd Bridges. What about Gainbridge Fieldhouse? Shut up. I'll just shut the hell up. Gainbridge. I can't even say it. It's just a Fieldhouse to me.
Still Conseco in my books.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's stupid of me.
I do like the name Fieldhouse, though, for an arena.
So do I.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah. Feels like there's just mice running around everywhere. It feels like a barn, you know?
Seems drafty, for sure.
Yeah, there's a tractor somewhere in there. All right, Chicago Bulls. I got them. I took them from you. Biggest surprise? Yeah, earmuffs. Biggest surprise about the Bulls is that they have the league's worst record in games that were within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. We're talking clutch situations.
Yeah, clutchers.
2-8 record. That's crazy to me because they have who's considered one of the best closers in the game, really, in DeMar DeRozan. So I think that's the wild part. And according to John Schumann from the NBA Power Rankings, that guy's dropping tidbits left and right.
This guy loves tidbits.
Holy moly. Shu pointed out, DeRozan is one of, like, four players, Jeremy Grant, Paul George, Dennis Smith Jr., as the others, with at least three buckets to tie or take the lead in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime. So DeRozan, he's clutch, but... When you add it all up, all these close games within five down the stretch, they're 2-8. That's their clutch record, which is the worst. Worse than the Magic, which are right on their heels in terms of like win percentage, a low win percentage. So
Magic,
you know,
beat the Bulls in a clutch game too.
Yeah, right. Oof. Right. Oof. So that's you know, their record is bad, but they win half of those. Pull them out, and it's not as gross. But
hey, man, that sounds optimistic to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but that's a Schumann stat there for you. I don't know if Schumann still jumps in the stream team. Is he there? Shu, you there?
It depends on if it's tidbit season or not. And right now it's tidbit season. DeRozan last year was money in the clutch. Like, he hit so many game winners. He obviously had the back-to-back Knights game winner. So even like a small step back in clutch percentage, it's going to be bad for the Bulls. And you're seeing if they, like, you know, I don't know. He didn't shoot 80% in the clutch last year, but it kind of felt like it, and the Bulls overperformed. Now he is not shooting that well, and they're underperforming. Another surprise, I would say, is Billy Donovan getting an extension months ago.
Yeah, why didn't
really
we know about
strange.
This?
I don't know.
Why is that kept a secret?
I don't know. There's no reason.
Yeah.
No, there is no reason. Because they got to the playoffs, And
they won like 47
46?
Games?
46.
Yeah. And so when you give a coach an extension after that, you know, it's the Nate McMillan thing. It's anybody. Everybody says, oh, yeah, they got to the playoffs.
Well deserved.
That's good.
Yeah.
But now when they're bad, you report it. Weird.
Very strange. Yeah. It's like they got better in Donovan's first season. They got better the next season. That would have been the time to announce it.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the time to be like, hey, we signed this guy to an extension. Not when you come in and kind of have a disappointing start.
Yeah. Instead, they had to like... leak it, I guess, if you want to call it that, after people were like, huh, Billy Donovan on the hot seat? Like, are they tuning him out? Like, this is bad. This isn't going well. And they're like, actually, we locked him up already.
The seat is incredibly cold.
He's probably not going anywhere all this quickly. So, yeah, way to slip that in there. All right, final team, the Detroit Pistons in the Central Division. What do you got?
Yeah, not one of the best teams in the Central Division. I think the biggest surprise is we had that preseason debate. Which up-and-coming team between the Pistons and the Magic would be better, would be more watchable.
Right.
And it's surprising the Magic have kicked the Pistons' ass. Now, I would say...
In just watchability factor?
Watchability and better. They're better. They're play clutch games. They're 2.5 points per game worse, the Pistons are, in terms of point differential.
Okay.
That's the second worst in the NBA. Spurs are the worst. But... obviously, injuries play a factor here. They're dead last in the East. They're 5-18. Cade Cunningham has played half the team's games. Mm-hmm. They're still debating whether the shin will have surgery or whether or not he's going to just rest it and play through it. So that's a huge factor. He had a good stretch while he was playing. But I guess some other surprising things about all these young and up-and-coming guys on the Pistons. Let's go through the young and up-and-comers that people were excited about. Sadiq Bey, we're talking about 50-point games here. He had one at the end of last season. Because he's a great three-point shooter. But he's only shooting 27% from three. Weird.
Yeah,
he's a third-year player, 38, 34, and 27 in his first 3 years in the league. On the other side, Isaiah Stewart, the beef stew, starting center. Many people have likened him to Al Horford in terms of the shot selection. He should be able to step out and hit a few threes a game. And he's been great, 36.5%. From three, since November 2nd, the man is balling from three, 51.7%, thanks to James Edwards for that stat. And he takes four games, so that's great. And Jaden Ivey has been good at shooting guard alongside, you know, Cade Cunningham. Those are the guys that we're talking about. And Jalen Duren has been good off the bench. So they've been fine, but if they don't have Cade,
yeah,
this team just, yeah, it's not. It's just goes from potential yelling at the play-in tournament to not even close. So... that's the most surprising thing, I guess, is that Sadiq Bey isn't balling, and that the Magic have been a little bit more enjoyable.
Just. Yeah. Mainly because of Bol Bol.
Yeah, Bol and Boncaro.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that when you watch the Magic, it's like Bol is fun to watch. Yeah. Boncaro is super fun to watch. When you watch the Pistons, unfortunately, their best player is Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of the problem there. Sadiq Bey's career shooting splits are hilarious, though. 35% from three for his career, but he shoots 54% against the Celtics. Like, he's just knockdown shooter against the Celtics. There's always that random guy that just kills your team. It's Sadiq Bey for Boston.
Weird one.
Will Liu calls that the Gerald Henderson Award.
Yeah, there you go.
You're talking about the random guys killing your own squad there.
Korkmaz for the Bulls.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's the Central Division. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll hit the other two divisions in the Eastern Conference to share our biggest surprises. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. We're gonna walk down to Atlantic Avenue. Atlantic Division. Boston Celtics. The biggest surprise about every team in the Atlantic Division, we start with the Celtics. Here's the biggest surprise about Boston. They have the most potent and efficient offense in NBA history. Mm-hmm. The Celtics have a 121.5 points scored per 100 possessions. And that is 4.2 more than the highest mark in league history, which is the Brooklyn Nets of 2020-21, who only played 72 games that season. But 121.5 offensive rating, it's just nuts what they're doing right now after 22 games. And we're always talking about the 50-40-90 club when we're talking about players and like mad efficiency. You know, 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% at the line. Your Larry Birds, your Steve Nashes, your Dirks, your Currys, your KDs, your Mark Prices, your Reggie Millers, the best of the best, right? We need to explore the team version of this 50-40-90 club. I want to propose like a 50-40-85, because 90% at the line as a team, we ain't getting there. 85%? It's doable because the Celtics are doing it. I crunched the numbers this morning, okay? And the only team to hit those shooting splits, 50 from the field, I'm rounding up a little bit, they're 49.8, but 50 from the field, 40 from three as a team, and 85 as a team at the line, it's the Boston Celtics. So they are just doing it at all three facets of the offensive game. And if you want to tweak that criteria and drop the team's field goal percentage, let's say, to 48%, and then the team's free throw percentage to 80, you still only add one team to the mix, which was the 2020-21 Clippers, also in that 72-game shortened season. They won 47 games out of 72, but they're the only other 48, 40, and 80 team squad when it comes to shooting the ball. They shot 41.1% from three, that Clippers team did. Isn't that wild? Everyone was lights out. You had the Nard Dog, Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Kawhi was just under 40%, Batum was lights out. So the Celtics, man, they're like, right now, the best team we've ever seen offensively. And, like, just for shits and gigs, I dropped the three-point percentage down a little bit.
This man's getting the most out of this.
Yeah.
Description. You got some steadity.
Yeah, but this is fun. This is like it puts into perspective how great the Celtics offensive team is right now. Because if you drop it to 39% from three, so I am talking about shooting splits as a team, 48 from the field, 39 from three, 80 from the line. This is all you have, okay? The 06-07 Steve Nash Phoenix Suns, the 7 seconds or less Suns, that makes sense, considered by many to be one of the best offensive teams ever. The 17-18 Curry and Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors that went on to win the title, love that. And then that 2020-21 Brooklyn Nets team, which had Harden, Kyrie, and KD. I mean, they didn't play a ton of games together, but they had some elite offensive players. And then, of course, the 2021 Clippers and the Celtics of this year. That's it. That's the list. Man, that's crazy. Didn't you have fun?
They're on fire.
I did have fun.
I thought I put it into perspective right there, man. Yeah. That's wild what they're doing. 50-40-85 as a team. That's crazy as a player, let alone a team.
It is. You know what would also be crazy is if we tried to edit every number you've said during the show into a short. I think we could
just
cut
me
it.
Saying numbers.
Now, right. If we steal years, if we make years number, you know, throw year 18, numbers. 19. If we can include those as numbers, I think we could put together a hell of a medley. I think you could be, I think you could be strolling down Atlantic Avenue and be listening to that 18, 40 from 3, 57, and really
are you proposing a new YouTube short category, NBA Skeets Watch?
Sure. Love it.
NBA Stats Watch meets NBA Skeets Watch. I think I just blew your mind and the right listener's there. Mind and the viewer's mind there, putting into perspective how great this Boston Celtics offense is. And that's your YouTube short. Loop it, play it again.
Loop it, swoop it. I'll tell you what, I don't believe it, man. I don't believe it. I don't think the Celtics are the best offense of all time.
Wow.
Pointflation. It's a real thing.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought it was the Mavs, wasn't it?
Yeah, you would think so. Think the 1920 season. Yeah. We're old enough to remember the Mavs. They've got the best offense of all time. That team is now 11th, passed by teams from last season, this season, and the season after. The best offensive team of all time is the 1986-87 Lakers. Because they are the only team in the top 20 for offensive rating that's not from the 2016-17 onwards.
Yeah, fast break Lakers.
But they can make threes these days. They're allowed to shoot them a lot.
That's
and the Celtics have great shooters all through their rotation.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It'll go down, though. It'll go down when Rob Williams comes back, unfortunately.
You don't think it'll stay at 121? Oh, my God. That
no,
is
I'm talking percentages and stuff will come down when Robert Williams comes back. Because right now, they're just playing good shooters.
Yeah.
Even it's surprising the Nuggets are right there as well. They're, in terms of percentages, they're the 50-40, and then the three-point percentage drops off for their team. But I don't know why. I don't know why. Who's missing so many threes? Or so many free throws?
Easy to hit 40% of three-pointers, isn't it?
No. I'm surprised that they're only a 75% free throw shooting team if we want to talk numbers. No, that's why it'd be difficult to stay if we're talking 50-40-90 for teams. And you know, all those names that you mentioned.
So 50-40-90 will never happen as a team.
No, that's why it's surprising.
The free throw line will be the thing.
Yeah,
sure.
That's true. And even the three-point percentage, that's got to come down for Boston and Denver, who are over 40 right now, I assume.
Does it? Does it? It ain't like Robert Williams is going to be shooting 10 threes a game.
No, they can shoot 40% from three, I do think.
Yeah.
That's
what
tough.
A team.
That's tough.
Best free throw percentage ever. Wait, it's the Celtics.
Right now?
Yes, currently right now, 85%.
Wow. Amazing.
Next best.
Isn't that weird? It almost sounds low. Like, you're like, these are NBA players. You're just like, you feel like they can hit
People
every
just
layup.
Just didn't figure out how to shoot until recently, I guess. Because number two on the list, it's this season's Miami Heat. Number three on the list, that great Clippers team. Number four on the list, the Phoenix Suns from 2021.
For free
throws. Just not a shoot now. Free this is just straight free throw factoids here.
Good.
Man,
good
that's
stuff.
Real sicko
that's
stuff.
That's hot. That's hot.
All right, let's go to the Philadelphia 76ers task. What's the biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise. Steve Novak never got 50, 40, 90. Just looking at all the Steves. Kerr, 50, 40.
Steves.
It's 50. Kerr did it, right?
I don't know. Is he on that list?
No, maybe not.
I don't think so.
What's wrong with that?
I named a lot of the guys. I may have missed a couple. Kyrie did it. Kyrie did it twice, I think.
Kyrie, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. The 76ers. What's the surprise with them? It's an interesting team. Maybe that Doc Rivers getting compliments. Maybe. Maybe that Joel Embiid was disinterested to start the season, and then, boom, he's an MVP candidate just like that. Oh, this guy, he's out of shape. Oh, he's an MVP candidate. Maybe that they've done well without their starting backcourt. Both of them. James Harden and Tyrese Maxey out, and they've maintained it. It's not surprising that Tobias Harris has filled in as a number one player because he's kind of been that for other teams for a stretch. He can do that. But it's just a very strange team that they're sitting here 12-10, tied for fifth. I think, zoom out, big picture, it's a surprise that this team hasn't really come together. Even if they're 12-10 and they're fifth in the Eastern Conference, they kind of do it in different parts. You know, Embiid carries the team. He's got that crazy high usage rate, like 40% can carry the team, but it's not a cohesive team. It doesn't look like a championship team to this point. And I thought coming into the season with all the weapons, with a Maxi Harden backcourt, with Harris as their fourth guy, with PJ Tucker, the perfect glue as their fifth guy, and Embiid, they just weren't great. Maybe you can blame it on plantar fasciitis. Embiid didn't come into the season and number one, all that in shape. Number two, looked a little disinterested on the defensive end, even though Maxey has been great. Even though they do have a guy who can win MVP in Joel Embiid. This team has not been cohesive, and we expected them to be a number one seed potentially in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. So this is disappointing, but it is odd that they have a guy who could carry your team to a victory. They have Maxey having a career year, and Doc Rivers, like, hey, you're a good coach again, sort of. So there's a lot of weird things that, you know, you'd kind of puzzle pieces. Yeah, they're good. But not a cohesive bunch. Not being able to do it for 48 minutes for long stretches. So it doesn't seem like this team is anywhere within spitting distance of the Bucks.
Yeah.
Or the Celtics.
I would agree with that. I thought you were going to go with biggest surprise off of last night's game, P.J. Tucker scoring.
Yeah.
Hit two threes last night.
6 points, baby.
Yeah. This is like doubled his scoring average.
26 points in the month of November for P.J.
Wow.
Tucker.
Wow.
Stay tuned for a YouTube short.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. You're coming fast and furious here.
He really screwed it, eh? Those late points.
Yeah, yeah. Would have been nice
on
to
the last day of the month.
all right, Toronto Raptors. Trey Kirby's got it. Look at that. Look at you and I flip-flopping
there. Yeah, we changed
there.
It up. It was good.
What do you got for the Raps?
I was honestly surprised to see that only OG Anunoby is in the top 20 in minutes played so far this season. Only OG and Fred are in the top 20 per game. I was surprised by that. Also surprising, Raptors have three guys who are juniors. Gary Trent, Otto Porter, and Ron Harper. I think it's the second most in the league behind
the Rockets.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kevin Porter, Jabari Smith, Kenyon Martin, Ty-Ty Washington.
Oh, always
forget
that
one. Junior.
Yeah, yeah.
That means there's a Ty-Ty Senior. That's pretty cool. As for basketball surprises, I think we should start spelling Pascal Siakam with an extra S. P-A-S-S-C-A-L. Because this guy's been passing. Thanks. 7 assists per game this season. He averages 3.2 assists per game for his career. He's been trending upwards since Kyle Lowry left and has taken over a lot more creation responsibilities. But he's up to 13th in the league right now, assist-wise. Has missed a little bit of time, but he's back, baby. Raptors got 6 guys averaging double digits. A lot of it is because Siakam is able to find shooters and get in the lane and make the right decision. So his game has grown by leaps and bounds, and I think it's pretty cool to see him being a passer now.
Yeah, he's been solid. He's been incredible. I'm glad we're not talking about last night's game where Zion...
Yeah,
just
he's pretty good.
Bodied them. And, I mean, I guess for the Raptors, Gary Trent Jr. was good off the bench once again. Maybe he's found his role there, but they got embarrassed by the Pelicans last night. It wasn't even close. They made, like, a fake run. Fake run to make it, like, 10, and you were like, ooh, it's 5 minutes left. Maybe they'll make this huge comeback. Nope. They shut that down. Really, really good game from Daniels and Trey Murphy III was huge. Troy Murphy. Shout out to that big old white guy.
Can't wait till we see a Troy Murphy Jr. in the NBA.
Yeah, right. But, okay. Any thoughts on the Raps there? Surprise? How have you felt about the Raptors? A quarter of the way in the season.
If Pascal was there, they would be far better. If he was healthier, they'd be way better than this 11-10. Yeah. So it's been a roller coaster. There's been two monstrous duds like yesterday's game, which have led them to a near 500 record. I expect them to be a 50-win team. So all in all, should be disappointed. But the way they play when everybody's healthy, this team is going to be very, very tough to deal with.
Yeah, the Scotty Barnes slump is not great for Raps fans right now, too.
Sure.
If you want to call it the sophomore slump, he's just been disappointing compared to, obviously, his rookie year. I started again last night. Wancho was back out of the
starting
lineup.
Yeah, that's how it should be done.
Well, yeah.
Scotty's not going to be coming off the bench. People excited.
No, you're right, but 1-7.
Yeah.
Bad game from Scotty, and look, lots of season left for him.
Lots of expectations. I heard social media is a big thing, and I think he may have heard a lot of the chatter in the summer that he's taking the next step. He's going to be a superstar. Can't trade him for Kevin Durant. He'll learn. He'll learn. He'll be all right.
All right. Next team in the Atlantic Division, it's the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, baby. Don't worry. I'm not gonna talk about crap with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to talk about Kevin Durant. I'm going to talk about one of the best players in the game. And I think the most surprising thing with the way he is playing, he could be an MVP candidate. He's got the highest field goal percentage of his career. What? Kevin Durant.
Scoring
right now.
Still 30 a game.
Yeah, highest two-point percentage of his career. It's ridiculous. You want to... John Schumann tidbit. His mid-range field goal percentage is stupid. Anything inside the arc, this guy is, he's perfected his craft. He's at home on a Monday night watching every game. This guy is
He really is.
He does.
It's what he does. He's got his highest free throw percentage. He's even learned to shoot better on his free throw percentage. Kevin Durant, he's just turned 34. He leads the league in total minutes played.
Wow.
Which is, that's shocking.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. It's like him and Lowry are the top two now. Yeah. Right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Oldies.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, it's hindsight now, but if you go back August, September, We just talked about Scottie Barnes. We talked about the Phoenix Suns. We talked about Jaylen Brown potentially being traded for Kevin Durant. All those teams. That one team didn't just say, we're going for the title. We're going for one run with, yes,
right, right.
Yes, he's 34. But at the same time, if the Suns have him on their roster, they're easily the best team in the Western Conference. If the
They already are.
Yeah. Yeah, but with a bullet. If the Raptors decide to trade OG Anunoby for Kevin Durant, like they did for Kawhi Leonard for one season, obviously they thought they would get more, and obviously they traded an old guy in DeMar, older, in DeMar DeRozan, as opposed to somebody like OG Anunoby, a team that likes to go for the championship. Hindsight, it looks strange when you're looking at Kevin Durant and what he's doing. It's a different outlook for the Raps than it was in the 2018 summer. I get it. You've got Pascal and OG and Barnes, and you want to know what they can become. But in hindsight, Kevin Durant wasn't traded for, which is weird, I think.
Yeah. It is nuts when you think that he's averaging 30, 6.5, 5.5, and he is 8th or 9th
on
the
tracker?
MVP tracker, I would guess. I mean, like...
Ooh, Tatum took the top spot. Interesting, interesting.
Like,
he's 8th right now.
That's Durant how good the league is right now. Where this guy is like one of the greatest scorers of all time with a bang, and is doing it maybe more efficient than he ever has at this age.
Yes.
And I know his team's 12-11. Okay, there's that, but you know, similar to sort of like a Luka situation. And it's like he's, like I said, he's not even at the table. My God,
he's
like leaning on the bar, going, "How do I get over to the table?"
Spot.
There's Jerome in the turtleneck. We forgot to take a new photo when Jerome was here. It's because I was so sick.
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't be seen in public, so let alone take a photo. Is snot dripping down my nose and stuff like that? We'll retake
snotty
that photo.
Dripping.
Yeah, snotty dripping. So anyway, a little love for KD there.
Oh my goodness, will he be traded? They're just gonna roll with this in Brooklyn. Roll with
probably
mediocrity.
Wow.
And then you see what happens.
The upswing.
Yeah.
Oh, they are on the absolute upswing, but what is their ceiling? I don't know.
See.
TBD.
Final team here in the Atlantic Division. New York Knicks. They lost last night, but what do you got?
They lost last night.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
Knicks are 10th in offense right now. They got a top 10 offense despite being middle of the pack in three-point rate. They don't take a ton of threes. They don't make them hardly at all. 30th in percentage. Adds up to being 26th in effective field goal percentage. Middle of the pack in free throws. So it doesn't really make sense how they actually have a top 10 offense, except for here's the key. They do shoot a lot of threes, so the volume kind of mitigates the bad percentages. They take a lot of free throw attempts, easy points right there, and then they never turn the ball over, and they crush the offensive glass. Top 5 in fewest turnovers and top 5 in most offensive rebounds. It's the definition of just show up. Just be there. If you have the ball a lot and you rebound it when you miss, it kind of doesn't matter as much that you miss all the time if you're getting it back. So I think it's been a strange start, kind of under the radar, you know. Nobody's really talking about the Knicks hardly at all right now. Julius Randle, medium bounce back season, I would say. He's not at all NBA levels, but he's not where he was last year. The big concern, I would say, for the Knicks right now is that RJ Barrett needs to improve on his game. He's shooting 40% from the field right now, largely because he's at 28% from the three-point line. He's finishing a little bit better inside. Unfortunately, he's taken some more threes and not making them. He's cut out the mid-rangers, which is probably the weakest part of his game, but he's got to be a better shooter from the outside or an elite finisher. Like, if he wants to model his game after Jimmy Butler, that's a guy that doesn't take a whole bunch of threes, doesn't make a lot of them, but is a great driver, gets to the free throw line all the time, and can finish inside. I think that's a good path for RJ Barrett, but he's got to be better at finishing inside.
Yeah, any thoughts on the Knicks?
Well, yeah, that's what RJ Barrett was supposed to be. He had an incredible January, February, March, and April at driving last year, getting to the rim. He was so good. The percentages are stupid. He looked like a Jimmy Butler light to some degree, and then this year it's gone the other way. It's really strange. So he is a bit of a pendulum. If he plays great, then this team is above 500 because Jalen Brunson has been really, really, really good for this team. He has been the rock that they've needed.
Yeah.
He's been
yeah.
ridiculously solid. But they sit at 10 and 12.
They're just like the classic, like, they lose to good teams or great teams, and they beat the bad teams generally, right? Like, their wins are against the Pistons and Magic and Hornets, and they got one against the Jazz there. I guess they beat the Pistons twice. So it's like they're just, like, stuck in the middle. And I wonder, will they panic trade? And not even panic trade. Will they make a move to, like, try and get a a star, borderline
like
star.
Like a Donovan Mitchell type?
Huh, right. Well, yeah. Is there a disgruntled star out there? It doesn't really feel like it right now. Does anyone
Beal,
come to mind?
I suppose Beal is always going to be a name that's in the mix, yeah. Right? Karl Anthony Towns, I think, could be could possibly float into the trade discussions. And I've heard some Zach LaVine chatter.
Kat and LaVine, those are good calls. Those are really good calls. Especially Kat. I don't even mind that from the Wolves side of things. Look at me. I'm already talking myself into the Wolves making a trade. Moving off of Kat. Maybe it's Barrett coming back to the Wolves in that. Anyway, let's think about that one. Let's put that one aside. The Knicks, okay, they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine, but they're not good.
Yeah,
and they're fine.
All right, we got to keep moving here. Southeast Division, the Atlanta Hawks. What do you got?
Well, I was fooled. DeJounte Murray came over in the offseason. They flew to Abu Dhabi, had some preseason games against the Milwaukee Bucks. They looked like the better team on that floor in Abu Dhabi with that oversized print in the preseason. They were playing hard. They were consistently playing hard in the preseason. I was fooled. I thought, this is a new team, because this team has been consistently inconsistent the last couple seasons. I thought DeJounte Murray would be the key to changing the effort level and changing the desire level and just changing the offense to some degree. I know the offense has always been good, but really just to be sort of that steady hand. And they've been up and down again. And I think they're going to make a change based on their personnel. And that is because DeJounte Murray needs to get in the lane. Trae Young needs to get in the lane. He hasn't had his best season. He's been off shooting the ball. And I think John Collins is finally going to move. And even though he is ridiculously talented, I think they're going to trade him for somebody who you would consider less talented, but more of a hard-nosed, three-point shooting, just stay the heck out of the way type of guy. So Trae and DeJounte can do their thing. And that guy, like a Jay Crowder, for instance, could be the guy who just yells at people, has come from a winning situation, sets screens, gets the heck out of the way, and just fires away and plays really hard defense. So just to change up the dynamics there, because they had a fine win yesterday. They're 12-10.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a higher ceiling. It's like, you know, the Bulls went and made all their trades. They, again, went to the playoffs once, and now they're sort of underwater. The Hawks don't want to be that. They don't want to be the team that traded for DeJounte Murray with all their picks. And yeah, I think they're going to just go further into it and trade a more talented John Collins for somebody that's not going to be as talented, but it could maybe fit that personality and bring back those Abu Dhabi vibes when things were great in the preseason.
Did they win those games in
Abu
Dhabi?
I think so. They won at least one, that's for sure. I think they may have won both.
Okay.
Giannis was sitting, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just this is the team that was like last year. Their offense has dropped off. Their defense has gotten better. But again, they're too inconsistent. The effort level, they don't scrap and play hard. And I think that's where trading a guy like John Collins for a three-point shooter and more of a rough-and-tumble Tucker Crowder-type dude is what's going to happen. Or, you know, it could even be a trade with Utah that John Collins could be happy there. Him and Lowry Markkanen, so much space, so much roam. That could happen. I could see that happening.
Yeah, look, 22 games into the season, if you had said, Hawks have a top-10 defense, you'd be like, oh, God, man, they must be sitting atop the Eastern Conference because they got Trae Young still on the team? Yeah, they got a great elite offense. They don't. They have a 10th-ranked defense and a 17th-ranked offense. I think you said that the other day, Trae. And that is perplexing, and they are so inconsistent game to game. I'd say even half to half with this team.
Definitely.
You don't know which team. You go down and watch a Hawks game, it's like they look unbeatable at times, and then they look like they've checked out. And they don't have a ton of fight to them at times when the other team goes on a run. So it's a weird, weird season. Yeah, you almost have to shake. I think they just have to shake it up. And it probably has to be Collins. Like, how could it not be after being in trade rumors for three or 4 years? And he's a piece that could at least get a player or two that you can, in theory, add to your rotation. So I'm with you on that. I think that's happening here in the next month. That's an emergency podcast.
You're John Collins, yeah. Oh yeah, I think that's
somebody pointed
that's
out we did a Cam Reddish emergency podcast last year to the Knicks. So, I mean, if that's the case, we're definitely doing John Collins. Any Hawks thoughts here?
I think their offense will turn around when Trey really gets going this season. He's 30% from three, and he's finishing in the lane his worst percentages of his entire career. Probably some of that is having to figure out, you know, the new geometry of the court. Some of it is that the Hawks don't have very good shooting right now with Bogdanovich out of the lineup, and, you know, Collins's role has been minimized, so he's not getting as many shots. Clint Capella's standing there in the lane. DeJounte Murray's hitting at a, you know, a league average rate, but he's not a scary outside shooter. So there's probably just more guys hanging out in the lane right now, which makes it tough for Trey. But I assume he'll just have a super hot streak at some point where he's averaging 30 a game.
It'll
for
be like Klay Thompson, like,
exactly. Yeah,
it really will be. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. He'll have a couple player of the weeks in him here when he just goes on a run, but not inspiring right now for sure. Neither is this team, the Miami Heat. Trey, what's the biggest
It's actually kind of nice that they go back-to-back here, because this team is something I'm more... I will be surprised if they don't make a trade, because I don't think this Heat team is good enough as is right now. It just feels like they took a tiny step back this season, whereas the rest of the Eastern Conference took a tiny step forward. Jimmy Butler has been balling, but he's already missed 9 games. I think Bam Adebayo has made a mini leap as the go-to guy with Butler missing games. But Tyler Hero's shot is not there yet. Kyle Lowry has been super inconsistent this season. And then Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Cody Martin, they've had fine seasons, like fair enough seasons, but they're not changing so much for this team. They look all right when Jimmy plays because he can really drag them to wins. But they just got to do a little bit something. They never replace PJ Tucker, right? Like, Cody Martin shooting 40% from three, he's probably not going to hold to that the entire time. It just feels like a team waiting to make a trade, waiting to get as healthy as possible and figure something out going forward. Schedule lightens up for the Heat through December. They might look okay by the end of the month, but I'm still expecting a lot of activity at the deadline. And I think Beal will be a target again because he's always been a target for them. I think John Collins should be a target for the Heat. Like, he would really, really help their team. And then Jay Crowder just seems like he's going to be a Miami Heat at some point unless he wants to go to the Bucks. So I think they have ways of getting better, but underwhelming start for the Heat, I think.
Yeah. Who will strike first when it comes to trading? The Heat, the Hawks, the Mavs, or maybe the Wolves? And maybe the Knicks, too, if you want to throw in there. Like, those teams that are like 500 teams that definitely want to be much better because of their market or trajectory or trades they've previously made. Who will make the move first? That's what I can't wait to find out. All right, we got a couple more teams. We got to move with some pace here. The Washington Wizards. Biggest surprise about the Zards is they're one of only three teams in the league with 3 20-point-per-game scorers. And this is trivia time. Okay. Truthfully, I think the Wizards are the only squad with 3 20-point-per-game scorers just because of games played. Because these other two teams have 3 20-point-per-game scorers, but one guy from each one missed, you know, significant time, half the games. Can you name the other teams?
Clippers?
No.
Oh, I thought it might be. Philadelphia 76ers?
Yes, there you go. So you got Embiid, Maxey, and Harden, but the Beards only played 9 games. Okay.
Sure.
And then the other one, Western Conference.
Nuggets?
No. I think they're in the same division, though, as those Nuggies. I love
Portland
divisions.
Trailblazers?
Yes. Simons, Grant, and Lillard, but nice. Dame's only played in 11 games. So, the Wizards, they're big three, you know, with Bradley Beal, 23.6 points per game, Kuzma, 20.6, and then Porzingis at 21.6. He is arguably having the best season of his career. A big part of that is he's playing. Knock on wood, he's still healthy. But he's like a top 25 player in terms of like win shares and player efficiency rating and stuff like that. He's been really, really good. I think has like a sneaky borderline all-star case to be made. But yeah, you got Beal playing 75% of the games. You got three guys that fill it up. And then there's a drop-off pretty drastically. But I was wondering, I was like, is this Zard's team with these three scorers? Like, are they reminiscent of like the 2000 Wizards? They're even wearing the throwbacks right now on some nights. Because those teams nearly had 3 20-point-per-game scorers. It was Gilbert Arenas, Antoine Jameson, and Larry Hughes the one season, and then that got flipped into Caron Butler.
I thought it would be Butler for
as
sure.
As the third guy. I don't think they never really got there, but they were like 19 points, and like you can round up and you get there. But I think this Wizards team might be like those Wizards team. 40 to 45 wins, a playoff appearance, probably a first-round loss. Bob's your uncle. Hmm. I see some similarities there.
Yeah. I think those teams get disrespected in those.
Well, they were
2000s.
Going up against LeBron a lot of the time. Yeah. It was Raptors-like in that sense.
Yeah, but, yeah. If they can achieve that, I think that'd be a great achievement. That team won a playoff series. That team is, it's forgotten, but they dressed cool, and that's why they're throwing back their jerseys to that team.
I do love the look.
But if this team can get to 40 wins, that's a heck of an achievement. Now, they're sitting at 500 right now.
Yeah.
That would be a great season for them.
So, we hit the over.
Yeah. What was it, like 34?
It was like 33, 34, something like that. Charlotte Hornets, two more teams left. Trey, what do you got?
I'm surprised the Hornets don't have the currently worst record in the league right now. It's a little bit of a shock. LaMelo's played 98 minutes. Gordon Hayward, he's hurt right now. He's already missed 10 games. Terry Rozier has missed 8 games. They rolled out probably the worst starting lineup we've seen in the league so far this season. A couple of games ago, Teo Maledon, Jalen McDaniels, Mason Plumlee, Kelly Oubre Jr., and P.J. Washington.
Woo!
Woof. But they got 6 wins. They've beat the Hawks, Warriors, 76ers, and Timberwolves. The worst teams in the league? Only 5 wins. Another good surprise, though, I was watching the Hornets play the Wizards not too long ago, and Kai Jones got a fast break, and there was a guy only like 2 steps behind him. He still threw down a reverse dunk on the fast break. Yeah. That was pretty cool and surprising.
Yeah.
Not much to say about the Hornets,
no,
man. We saw their peak. No. We saw them take down the Hawks. Huge Nick Richards games.
We were there.
That was maybe their peak.
That was big time.
Yeah.
I think they were 2-1 at that point.
That's a team that we've talked about before, so we don't need to go over it again, but could move some of these guys if anybody can convince himself that they could contribute to your team.
Time. They got it. They got to do it. Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, and even getting off one of the bigs just so the young guys can play. Not that you're getting a lot back for Mason Plumlee, but play Nick Richards. Play Mark Williams. What are we waiting for here? Doesn't seem to be much upside. It's tough because if LaMelo's in the lineup, you can win every game. But the other teams are far more healthy that are, 1 through 10. It is surprising that they're only 13th.
Well, okay, they're one game up on these bottom dwellers.
Yeah, so, but it feels worse,
give it a week.
I guess.
Yeah, it does feel
because
worse.
They have a guy who was an all-star last year, and obviously he hasn't played.
Yeah, that's a good point.
30th in offense right now. That's a tough watch.
Well, good thing they brought Steve Clifford back.
Steve.
All right, the Orlando Magic. Biggest surprise about them is Bol Bol, baby.
It's Bol Bol, baby.
It's been fun. Over his last 17 games, so when he went into the starting lineup, he's averaging 14-8. Okay, it's not going to blow you away, but decent shooting percentages. 59% from the floor for the 7-2 Bol Bol, and 41% from deep, chipping in, close to 2 blocks per game. I think 1.7 over that stretch of 17 games. He looks like a jumbo-sized point guard, though, out there. Like, he brings the ball up. He pushes the tempo. He can attack a defender off the dribble. And Durant just gave him high praise. And KD's a sicko like us. He watches all these games. They just played recently against the Magic. And this is what Durant said. He's unique. He's tough to deal with. You've seen his confidence growing by the game. He can do pretty much everything on the basketball court. That's a Tass Mellis line when I read that. I was like, I love that line from Tassie. KD, you must listen to No Ducks. Last few years, Bol's been in and out of the lineup. Hurt, G League stints. But I love what the Magic are doing with him. They're putting him at the point sometimes. They're playing him at the 5. They're moving him around because he's such a versatile player. Again, that was KD giving some love to Bol Bol. And he is one of the rare bright spots outside of Banchero. The start of the season, when he was dunking on guys in game 1, putting down maybe like Dunk of the Year nominees. But then he missed 7 or 8 games, and they've just been decimated by injuries. What's going on with the Orlando Magic like training staff? Is this team always injured, or is it just me? Like, it always feels like there's 5 guys out of their lineup, like for the last 3 seasons. But this year, Banchero, okay, misses a stretch. Cole Anthony and Gary Harris, they barely played. Suggs, Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba, OKK, they were all out of the lineup last night. Jonathan Isaac, they tell me he's still an NBA player, but I don't believe it. And then Markel Fultz, he just came back last night. So just a lot of injuries. And I feel like that's the case every year with them. So Bol Bol, at least, is a bright spot.
Bol's balling. Yeah. They're like, just let him cook.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, whatever, just bring the ball up and do some cool stuff because you're actually able to stay on the court now. Like, he's not fouling all the time. Yeah. I think that's pretty impressive. I thought it was funny that Paolo Banchero compared him to Victor Wembanyama. High praise. But yeah, the Magic, they're not very good, but at least they're entertaining to watch.
Okay, so the Magic get Wemby paired with Bol Bol. Keep Bamba. Banchero. damn.
They just got a short point guard. That's it. Yeah. Jalen Suggs. Yeah, I've seen him hit some big shots. I also saw the Orlando Magic hopped on the big hat trend right away.
They had a nice
Instagram carousel of them wearing just a gigantic Orlando Magic hat.
Like a Noggin Boss.
We're talking Noggin Boss.
Authentic?
I don't know if it's authentic Noggin Boss, but it looked like it.
It looked like it.
Yep.
I didn't see that.
Markelle Fultz was the star of that roulette, I think. He was leading the way. That was the first time I've seen Markelle Fultz in a while. Yeah, first game he played yesterday. I will give Franz Wagner some love.
He's
19 and a half points on 50% shooting. That's difficult for a guard wing. He hasn't shot below 40%. Since October in a game. He is ridiculously consistent. He's doing exactly what they ask. If one of their guards came through, if a Cole or a Suggs took the next step, they could be a very good team. But, yeah, Banchero and Bol Bol are making us forget about the other holes in their lineup. But Banchero is the real deal, probably rookie of the year. 8.5 free throws per game. That's superstar stuff right there.
Killer bees.
Bulls. Bowls. I just said bowls. Pluralize the bowls. Banchero. What's the other one? No, just bowls and Banchero.
Bomba, if you want.
If you want.
If you want. Killer Bees, you only need two. That was the tag team. You must have had those wrestlers.
I didn't.
Really?
I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. Are they the British Bulldogs?
No. Those are the Bees. Killer Bees. They were dressed in yellow. I think their names were Jim and...
They faded, those guys.
Ooh, Jim and I don't know.
They must have faded.
A bright, bright moment there.
They shone bright that I don't even freaking remember who they are. Killer Bees,
Killer Bees?
I'm a British Bulldog.
They got a stripey look.
Yeah,
no surprise.
It was black and yellow.
Jim Brunzell and B. Brian Blair.
They were funny.
85 to 88. That's a little early.
No, but they did. You have all those old wrestler
I have
things.
Them. I have
what
them.
What do you call those? They're called something.
Action wrestling figures.
Hard plastic.
Action figures.
But I remember I had them, and they were one of them. I don't know if it was Jim or the other one. He was in the dumbest pose. He was like this. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, how am I wrestling with this guy giving a Lee Ellis thumbs up the entire time?
I forgot those guys. Yeah, I was a British Bulldogs guy. They had some dumb poses, too.
Did they? One of them was.
One of them. Davy Boy Smith.
yeah, Davy Boy was that.
Yeah. They had other ones. I think Will and Kate went and watched them wrestle, actually, in Britain. Were they even British? The Bulldogs?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about... Yeah, I think
Davy
they were.
Boy?
I'm not sure Davy Boy was. Maybe he wasn't. But what's the other one, Sam?
The other one. Dynamite Kid!
Oh, Davy...
There was multiple British
Bulldogs?
There
was three dogs. Hold on. There was three dogs.
Matilda. was the dog.
Yeah, I get it. Davy Boy Smith.
He was British, it looks like.
But it was Davy Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid. Isn't that the
no, both. They're cousins.
Oh, Davy Boy's the big guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dynamite Kid's a little guy.
Why am I thinking his name was somebody else?
Dynamite Kid.
Maybe there's only two.
Yeah, there was.
Both died prematurely wrestling.
Both
Final
British.
Oh, there
British.
You go.
Both British. Respect checks.
Good. We can sleep at night.
It was an authentic Noggin Boss.
Good. Take our final break. When we come back. My God, it's a long podcast. When we come back, pick up results and a fun tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, back with the boys here in the Classic Factory. Got a photo of the Killer Bees LJN action figures I was talking about. There it is. I believe that is... Jumpin' Jim Brunzell with a thumbs up on the left. And then that's, of course, B. Brian Blair on the right. The killer bees.
These look like knockoffs.
No, Taz.
I know my wrestling action figures.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
You have two of the best.
Stop calling them LJN. That's just a company. No, that's just the brand.
That's how they're known on eBay, man. You can sell yours for a pretty dime.
Never. Anyways, that one kind of looks like Greg the Hammer Valentine. Greg the Hammer Valentine had a pose like that.
Yeah, he did.
The lefty hook. Yeah, but mine didn't have underwear.
Oh, you? Because you like to take it
Somebody
off.
Somebody scraped it off. Did I like to take it off? It just happened.
You freak.
Au naturel. We took our time. We didn't just take our underwear off.
The killer
peens. It just happened over
the
years.
The killer peens.
That's what I called them.
Anyway. I just checked to see if the Killer Bees ever won the tag team championships, and it appears they did not, but they did win the Frank Tunney Senior Memorial Tag Team Tournament held in Maple Leaf Gardens in 1987. They beat Demolition in the finals.
Frank
Tunney. Like a King of the Ring?
Yeah, it looks like basically they beat here's who they beat in the first round, Kamala and Sika. I don't even remember who that was. They beat King Kong Bundy and Paul Orndorff.
Upset.
Orndorff,
thank you. And then Demolition went through the Can-Am Connection. You remember them? Rick Martel and Tom Zenk.
Tom Zenk.
I remember Rick Martel.
And the British Bulldogs were in this. Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid. Wow. Axe and Smash were in that one. Not Crush. He came later. Anyway, pick 'em results. I'm going to start a wrestling podcast where we just talk
just
to old wrestlers.
Wrestler names.
That's a great
Here's
idea.
Here's this week's list of 30 old wrestler names and something they did.
I'd listen to the hell out of that podcast.
I would love to hear somebody say Brian Blair.
B. Brian Blair. Pick 'em results. Last night, it was the Minnesota Timberwolves game, where the Grizzlies were favorites on the road, but I told you to bet your house on Mini covering, and they did, and that was a win for me and Tess, I believe. And you see the records there for the month of November. I'm the big winner! Woo! 11-8. Tess and Trey tied. The identical 8-11 records. So there you have
Congrats
it.
Congrats to us.
Yeah. Let's get to tonight's game, Tess.
Game.
I know which one it is.
There's only one game. In the National Basketball Association.
Weird, man.
I'm going to go to Does Skeets Think There Are Enough NBA Games Tonight.com? And the answer will be no, because there's only one game and doesn't want to go up against the old Bills Pats. The NBA does not.
Oh, is that what's happening tonight?
So yeah. Dallas visiting Detroit, the only NBA game. 7.5 points.
Wow.
I'm taking the Pistons to cover. Dallas isn't going to mop the floor with the Pistons. Nah. Nah. They're not a blowout team. Says I
that
tonight.
True.
So, you guys, leading off December, picking the Mavs to win by 8 in Detroit.
Is there a Dwayne Casey revenge factor here? Wasn't he an assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks a couple seasons?
Oh, he was on the bench with Carlisle when they won.
That sounds correct,
Tess. Or was he gone?
I think you're right.
I think
he won a title. I think there's a revenge factor here at play. Yeah. Just like him
he was the defensive coordinator on that team. Sorry to bring it back to the NFL. Who's the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator?
Is it Wade Phillips?
I don't know.
Nah, that bum Phillips is out of here. No, he's gone.
I think it's B. Brian Blair. Calling the defensive.
Bill Belichick.
Full circle here. Apparently, they took the Killer Bees nickname when they came into wrestling
from...
Like a 70s Dolphins team that had a bunch of B-named guys that were a great defensive unit that called themselves the Killer Bees.
Great. They were great. Was that the team that went 16-0? The Killer Binoculars?
Mercury Morris
in
the backfield?
What a name. Mercury.
What else we got? Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's make it quick.
Yeah, tweet of the Night.
That's a cutie.
Wow. That's one of the cutest tweets of the night, I would say we have.
All right.
This one's big time. Very, very cute. Cute moment. Cute moment from the Nuggets and Rockets game last night. Post game, Nikola Jokic sees his countrymen, Boban Marjanovic. They greet each other with a deep hug, three kisses on the cheek. DeAndre Jordan loves it. He's liking it. He's like, oh, this is cute. So he goes in for the hug. He goes for two kisses. But Boban pulls him back in. He says, no. No, in Serbia, we do three kisses.
That's great.
Got a tweet from Ibrahim Eski who says, Tess Mellis, we need the analysis on the cheek kiss on Boban because he goes in for two, but Boban corrects him to do three kisses Serbian style. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm not Serbian, but...
I think Ibrahim... Ibrahim just assumes you know.
Yeah, I am from that part of the world.
The general kissing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have seen my friend Alex Churchin and his family kiss each other 3 times as they greet each other. What a waste of time.
Two
max. I mean, I grew up twosies. I'm sure you were doing a lot of that too, JD, when you were in Greece. Yeah, you get 2 is plenty, is it not? Do we need a third? Do we need a third kiss?
Boban,
so DeAndre Jordan, it felt natural. It felt natural for DeAndre Jordan for 2 kisses. And that's what he did with Boban. I think that's all you got to do. I'm not sure why a third was added. Like there was ever just 2. That's what they do. Not to insult that entire culture, but 3 seems like a lot.
It seems excessive.
So that's my analysis. What do you think?
You know, I did a quick Google search, but it turns out it's true.
Yeah.
Serbians generally kiss 3 times on the cheek as a greeting. There are many different rumors why it could be related to the Orthodox religion. Mm-hmm. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It could be the 3 kisses celebrate life, death, and honor in that order. It could be the 2nd kiss on the original cheek is so that the other one doesn't cry.
Damn.
All I know.
Okay, well then you only need 2.
Or is that Serbians will never kiss twice. Adults will never kiss twice is what I saw on this one Serbian website.
Jeez, they're judging you, Tess.
That's an interesting one.
The kisses have turned.
My man Alexander Churchin would never kiss twice. He would always do it 3 times.
So what did you guys do?
And he would only shoot 3-point shots too. He would never shoot 2-point shots. So
have we played with him?
I think so.
I think so. He does shoot a lot of threes.
Great shooter.
Yeah, he's solid.
He's a very good shooter.
All right, that is today's podcast. My goodness, you want some other podcasts? Got some more hours left in the day to listen to pods? Well, go check out the new Is This Good podcast. Posted yesterday, special guest, Jackie Tone, was it?
Jackie Tone, yeah.
Thank you. This is up, obviously, on YouTube. It's available wherever you download and listen to podcasts. Just search for Is This Good. Matty OJD and special guest, Jackie Tone, going through some fun topics.
I'm laughing at this photo of a baby foot with an engagement ring on it because it's weirding me out. You look at it after a while. Yeah,
it almost looks like a Jim Brunzel thumb when you squint.
Yeah, it's like, is it a hand?
But is it a hand or a foot?
It's a foot.
It's a baby foot.
It's a foot.
Wow.
Here, we're going to take a cute
photo.
I don't
know. Matty O has thumbs that look like toes. Mm. That could be a thumb. This could be Matty O, for all we know.
Don't all of our thumbs look like toes, though?
No, some people's do more than others. Like Matt's do. They're more
toe-like.
Yeah, they're like toes. Yeah, great way to put it.
Yeah, they're yeah.
Like mine, a chode.
Like mine doesn't look like a
wider.
Like a that thumb. Doesn't look
yeah,
like a
wide
toe.
Thumb.
Kind of looks like a toe.
I mean, but not. It's his is more squat. You know, like
let's see.
Like yours.
Let's see. No, go. Don't look at.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to show the camera. Why are you looking?
I don't know.
That looks.
See,
mine looks exactly
more,
like a big
see,
toe.
Mine looks a little too skinny for a toe. I think. Right.
Well, you have skinny toes. It probably looks like your toes.
My toes are.
I think Tass,
up.
Yours looks more like a toe.
Yeah.
No offense.
I got no problem saying that. Let's see your thumb.
You guys don't want to see. You'll be embarrassed.
Why?
Why?
My thumbs are very long and skinny. They look exactly.
Well, why
like
are your
thumbs.
Feet so short?
They look exactly like thumbs.
Are you kidding me?
I don't.
Look at these.
Yeah, I want to see that angle.
That does not look like a toe to me.
No, it doesn't.
Like we gotta get Matt's. We gotta get a photo of Matt.
Those look as long as fingers. Those are huge.
Those are...
Right. Thank you.
And also later today, if you are a Survivor fan, a new No Buffs podcast live at 1 p.m. Eastern, which is right around the corner. We'll go live over on our YouTube feed, and then that will get flipped into a podcast soon after. One of the greatest episodes of the past couple seasons, last night's Survivor episode. We are going to have a blast breaking this one down. Incredible challenge. Some hilarious moments involving Owen at the start being Charlie Brown, and then the hiding in plain sight advantage it was in the end. Anyway, we got lots to talk about. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's No Buffs. That's our Survivor podcast. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow for the Drop podcast. I think we're going to make some early all-star teams tomorrow, some debates about who should be in the mix. Got 5-Star Friday. Got Worst of the Week. So tons coming up tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I got this from Statitudes. Survivor Statitudes.
Okay.
I didn't get it from Survivor. Oh, I got it from, I think it was from Rob Sestorino. You know that challenge. I'm mesmerized by that challenge. Last gasp, where you're in the water and you're just, the tide comes in and you're
trying to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A legendary survivor challenge, but 100%. It's only been there four times, apparently.
I was surprised as well.
Isn't that crazy? It's been like 10 seasons or so since they last did it, right?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah. I thought they did it last season. They did a crazy underwater one last season, but impossible.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Did you enjoy the challenge?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Jeff Probst.
You're
going
to enjoy No Bluffs.
I'm going to enjoy your show. I'm going to enjoy No Bluffs. I enjoyed Jeff pacing back and forth. We're taking it back to the old school.
It's going to be a good one. All right, guys. We'll see you either for No Bluffs or we'll see you for the Drop Podcast. Embrace the day, people.